We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Cooper Boardman, on WEEI.
Hello, hello, Red Sox Review, WEEI, happy Tuesday, all right, here we go, kind of like watching the same game. It's, you know, the Red Sox, I can't be too negative, I really can't do it. 13 and 11, over 24, it's fine being the operative word, but when they lose... It looks like this. When they lose, this is what this is. And with no Tristan Casas and no Devers tonight and no Trevor Story, obviously, with no Tyler O'Neill over the last few days, had him tonight, this is what it looks like. And this is what's going to happen. The Red Sox are going to lose a lot of games like this. It doesn't mean that they're not going to win games like this, but when they lose, this is what it's going to look like. And oh, you saw it tonight. 617-779-7937 at 37937. I am Cooper Boardman, Zach Coe, inside the glass. We are live with you until 10 p.m. here in Boston. And I don't know, Zach, kind of felt like I'd seen it before.
Yeah, every game where they don't really do much on offense is like Groundhog's Day.
Yeah. This was what came to me during the game. Was the Cleveland Guardians and the Boston Red Sox are built very similarly. Very similar teams, and I think that's going to offend some people around here. Like, that's a big problem. Cleveland Guardians are a good team. They're a good organization. They've been a good organization 5, 6, 7 years now.
They have the best record in the American League right now.
Right. 17-6 right now. It's working. They weren't great last year. This is a team that's been to the World Series in the last 10 years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And to me, right here, right now, because of the way these teams are built, the Cleveland Guardians are better than the Boston Red Sox at being the Cleveland Guardians. And, there are so many ways about the structure of this roster, about the structure of the lineup, about some of the injuries that they intersect. But the reality is it's two teams with really good starting pitching, two teams with good bullpens. I think the Guardians have a better bullpen at this juncture on April the 23rd, 2024. Two lineups that theoretically are not built on crazy slug in the way that a team like, you know, there's so many teams around baseball like the Braves or the Dodgers or the Yankees, shoot, that are built that way. They get enough big swings. Jose Ramirez showed that tonight. Of course, they have their horse and the Red Sox don't. Ramirez versus Devers. And more than anything, they play tight and close games again and again and again, just like the Red Sox. And they did again tonight. And it's a 3-run margin tonight. It was 1 run for a lot of the night. It was 2 runs for a lot of the night. And ends up being 3. And, it's just another game where nobody scores 6 runs in a game that the Red Sox are playing in. But the difference is the intelligence between these two, right? It is everything we just said there. It is the fact that they run the bases well. It is the fact that they play good defense. Red Sox, once again, do not do the T-ball things tonight. They just don't do them. And it's one of those things where we can sit here and we can talk about it over and over and over again, but like, it's either better or it's not, and it hasn't been. And it's the kind of thing where you get the 1 run that you need in the 7th inning on the home run by Willy Abreu, and that's all wonderful and great, and et cetera, et cetera. But you don't get, in the end, anything more. And the Guardians get more. They, you know, they run the base as well, the double and the single. What they do on, you know, in the eighth inning against Boozer, putting pressure on the Red Sox defensively. And that's the thing. If you're going to build a team the way the Red Sox have, and again, that's a different conversation for a different day, for an offseason, for a, for something to pound our fists on a different night. If let's just live in the world where the Red Sox are built this way. If that's the case, those little bits, those little things that the Guardians have put on, came to Fenway and did right in front of our eyes last week and did again tonight. That's the difference to me, Zach. That's the difference.
Yeah, one thing that stuck out to me, you mentioned the little details. It didn't amount to anything, but in the second inning, there was a tailor-made double play ball hit right to Pablo Reyes. He was too slow getting it out to second base, and they only get the one out at second. And then, I mean, obviously nothing amounted to it, but it could have.
Yeah, I thought too there, like, Valdez really struggled with the transfer and just could not make it. And I think that it is a step in the right direction that he didn't throw the ball away, that he ate it. But again, same deal. And again, there's only one reality of tonight, and that's you're going to see it again. And that doesn't mean that this team is bad. It doesn't mean that this team can't win games in the division. It doesn't mean that this team can't win games like this. They have won games like this over and over. I mean, this is a team that coming into the night, you know, had won, 7 of these 12 games that had been decided by two runs or fewer, that had been in this situation and won in this situation. But the teams that are there, the issue too is there are too many teams around Major League Baseball built this way. You know, I open up the Major League Baseball scoreboard. The Rays are built this way, and they're off to a difficult start. The Astros, to an extent, have been built this way, though, with a lot more slug behind it. The Diamondbacks were built this way to the World Series last year. The Mariners were built this way. The Orioles are not built this way anymore, but had been over the last few years. The Giants are built this way, and on and on and on. I'm just reading the teams that are playing tonight. The Red Sox are built this way too, but right now, over the first 24, 25 games of the season, they're not yet good enough to win games like this against teams that are better than them at doing it. And the Guardians have been the best at all year long, where the offense is not overwhelming, but they get enough out of it, from the starting pitching and the bullpen, and they hold on, and your season gets decided on nights like tonight. It doesn't, not to like go crazy doom and gloom on April 23rd in a rainy night in Cleveland where there are 13,000 generously there. But this is the kind of game where the Red Sox, living in the margins that they're living in, especially in this division, these are the kinds of games where it matters. It really does. And, of course, no Devers, no Casas. But that's the world you're going to live in, especially with no Tristan Casas. And so we will dig into like what offensively you can do on nights like tonight. We will get to that. We will hear from you. 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line as well. But Alex Cora is speaking right now in Cleveland. Want to get you there. So let's start there, and then we will talk to you again. 617-779-7937 tonight on Red Sox Review. Here is the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora, speaking after a 4-1 loss to the Cleveland Guardians.
Throughout this week,
they did an amazing job. Like I told him, they're earning the right to go deep into games, and there's no baby gloves here. He was throwing the ball well, split that he hung, a slider down the middle, and that was it. But overall, another great outing.
Nice to see Willier take that swing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just he was long the first two pitches, then he got back into a bat, and he was short in the fastball inside. So there's a reason he's playing. We're going to keep talking about this kid because he's good. His approach is really good. He understands what he needs to do at the plate to be successful. He's a good defender. Like I said, he's a good base runner. So, yeah, he's a good player.
Is Yoshida okay?
Mm-hmm.
How much are some of these outs on the bases hurting you guys?
Ball in the dirt. He made a good job picking it up and saw him taking a few steps at first. And like I always said, it's 27 outs, and you cannot give the opposition more than 27, and we cannot take away from us. You know, sometimes we got keys and tells, you know, to like ref the other day, he took off early, and we had, you know, he did a good job because we had information on the opposition. So, I mean, it sucks that we got burned twice there, but it's part of the game.
How tough a pitch is that for Ramirez to get to and just barely?
There's probably only two guys that can do that, and they're short, you know, him and Altuve. The impressive thing was the cutter inside that hits a line drive foul to their dugout, and then he gets a fastball up and away and barrels it and hits it out of the ballpark. Like I always say, he's a stud. He's a good player. You know, obviously I'm not rooting for him, but you're in awe, you know. I was like, for real, bro? You know, like, you doing this? He's amazing. He's amazing. And that at bat, you know, tells the whole story, right? He's one of the best players in baseball.
Did you have Devers available? Or?
Not today. Yeah, okay. He's playing tomorrow.
He will.
Yeah.
Third or base.
We'll see where we at. Yeah, but he's playing tomorrow.
What's it like managing in a kind of fire drill situation late? Two guys, I think, who hadn't played those positions in the major.
I mean, you trust them. They're good athletes. I mean, it seems like Connor panicked on that ground ball, right? Yeah. For him, it's nothing. You know, he takes ground balls. He's a good athlete. Rafaela has taken ground balls at third base. You know, this is where we at right now. You know, as far as like moving guys around, and those two, like I said, you know, like in Pittsburgh, he needed to catch because he was our backup second baseman, our backup left field. Now he was our backup first baseman.
Do you have a starter?
Coop is going to start tomorrow.
And you can get a full start out of him? Or?
Well, I mean, we'll see how the game goes.
By nine?
That'd be great. We're good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Alex scored tonight. After the loss against the Cleveland Guardians, 4-1 the final score. There, Sox were up in this ballgame 1-0 on a Willy Abreu home run, as you heard Core talking about there, and then two, and then two more, and then 4-1 the final. In the late stages, every run of this game was scored in the seventh inning or later, as we welcome you back on Red Sox Review, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, 37937. On the text line, Cooper Boardman live with you on Red Sox Review. Zach Coe inside the glass as well. Rafi Devers tomorrow. That is big, bold headline print. Flash the bulbs around it. That is the number one thing. And we're going to spend the rest of the night probably talking about how do you score runs on a night like tonight, because, boy, does that need some time to be talked about. But the truth is we can go a million different ways about how the Red Sox can do it. Rafi Devers has to be in the lineup, and Rafi Devers has to be Rafi Devers for this team, or they have no shot. I mean, there are going to be too many nights like tonight at this point. And, you know, you could say when Rafi was hurt, all right, you've got Casas. You know, you could say if both of those guys were hurt, okay, maybe you have Story based on the track record and what he did in Colorado. No more. There's one guy left. One guy left in this nine where you feel like the back of the baseball card could prop up an offense. So that is my biggest, you know, takeaway from that right there. All right, 617-779-7937. We will talk to you in just a second here. Cooper Criswell going to get the start tomorrow. You know, just a couple of thoughts there, you know, from Alex. You know, the idea that they're going to try to get length, you know, I was kind of laughing to myself because we have this conversation with you so much about the length that the Red Sox get from their guys, right? Tanner Houck tonight goes out there for the seventh inning, gets tagged a little bit. Now some good swings on some good pitches, but five and six hitters. That's what happens third time through, even when you have your best stuff. And I didn't think he had his best stuff tonight. And he still went six innings of two-run ball. You know, he did not throw the fastball. He did not seem to have his sinker. You know, the breaking stuff helped him nickel and dime his way through the lineup for a lot of the night. That's not to disparage what he did tonight. He pitched tonight. But Alex Cora said it, you know, they've put some pressure on the bullpen, not a lot of pressure. There are teams that are putting more pressure on their bullpens than the Red Sox are, but you know, you're going to need six out of Tanner. You're going to need seven out of Cutter, six out of Crawford. Right now with the Pivetta situation, with the Whitlock situation, the idea tomorrow that Cooper Criswell is not in a situation in a major league game to give you six innings tomorrow. If he gives you five, I think you jump for joy and set off fireworks. And really, you know, if he gives you four with an opener and he's going to give you four tomorrow to start, and then you bridge from there, I think you feel good. But you know, tonight to me, Zach, is another night of Tanner Houck. Thank you very much. This is who he is to us now. This is who he is.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing that you didn't mention is that the Whitlock injury puts them in another precarious situation because Josh Winkowski is normally their bulk guy, and now he's forced into the rotation and can't go tomorrow when you don't really know what Criswell's going to give you.
The absolute magic wand wave over Josh Winkowski is crazy. Like, what he did the other day, I sat here and I said, I there's no reason why he needs to be a starter. We talked in spring training to all of you from Fort Myers, really. And the idea that he can go out there and do what he did over the weekend is extraordinary. But you're right. There's a cumulative effect. We will get to all of that. I want to talk to you in a second. We're going to take a quick break. Come on back. We will get to your call, 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line. And we will get to all of that. And then let's get into two things as the night goes along. And you think about it and you talk about it with us. Fundamentals. What do you do? And two, offense. On a night like tonight, and there are going to be a lot of them, how do you score runs? We will try to answer those two. They're collectively $2 million. Million-dollar questions on the other side. We're back in a moment. Zach, as you're trending on the other side, this is Red Sox Review, and it's live on WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Red Sox Review, Tuesday night. We'll do a Lipa. Well done, Zach.
Thank you.
We're all about that. A little bit happier than the night in Cleveland tonight. It was just, gosh. You know, we do 162 of these, so I don't mind saying this. Sometimes the game's boring. Sometimes the game is just not very good, and it's better when you win boring games, but the Red Sox didn't do that tonight. 4-1, rainy, 13,000 in Cleveland, zeros. Tanner Houck was great. Willy Abreu hits a home run. And other than that, like, kind of like a big pile of nothing.
Yeah, up until that seventh inning, it was one of the faster games of the year besides last week's Houck start and one of the more boring games of the year.
But I do think, on the opposite side of that, I do think it speaks to some of the game. Like, the Red Sox are going to play a lot of games like this, and I don't mean boring games, but just so many of these games that are tight and close and decided late, and they have won a lot of games like this year, and it's been fun when they've done it. It's been more fun at home when it's warm sometimes, but again, this is the team on the other side. We said this, the Cleveland Guardians, that are doing it better. Right now, they're 17-6. This is Red Sox Review. It is live on WEEI. Thanks for being with us. Zach Coe inside the glass. Cooper Boardman with you. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. Text line is open as well at 37937. We'll get to the text in just a second, but let's get to the lines real quick, and we will open it up. We begin the night with our friend Wally in Fall River. Wally, welcome once again to Red Sox Review.
What's up? Thanks, Coop, for taking my call. But you look at this road trip. We started off taking three from the Pirates. I hope we can at least win one in Cleveland and have a 4-2 road trip. You don't want to get swept by Cleveland. But I was looking at our schedule. The next 5 weeks, you're playing decent teams except for maybe one little stretch with Washington, three games. So all these all these games mean a lot right now. I mean, you're wasting a lot of good pitching. We all know that with this pop gun offense. You're getting Devers back tomorrow. You don't want to bat him second. You want to have him bat third and O'Neill fourth. I mean, you're going to have to cut down on your strikeouts and find some way of scoring runs. I mean, none of these guys that are plugged in now are regulars. Roughside is a bench guy. All the others, Reyes and all that. Rafaela hasn't started really hitting yet. So you're plugging in a lot of guys and expecting a lot from them. They're not going to go out and get three and four hits every other night. But, you know, you have to give Cora credit. He's plugging in a lot of guys. But when you bat Wilbur Ray clean up some of these other guys, Ralph Snyder, Wong. I mean, they're really not cleanup guys. The same way with your table setters. Duran doesn't draw a lot of walks. You're number two guy, too. So you're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to tighten up the defense. And, you know, there's no Casas. There's no story, but it's really, I think it's going to be up to Craig Breslow to, you know, see if he can get a little more punch at first base. I'm not happy with Dalbec being over there.
No, and I think that's fair. And Wally, always great to hear from you. Appreciate the call. You know, there are a couple of things there. You know, one is, you know, you asked for Breslow to do more. You know, and look, there's going to be a moment in time here where if the Red Sox play around where they're playing right now, you know, they're playing within the margin of two or three or four within 500, where, you know, when July 31st, August 1st rolls around, there are going to be decisions to be made. And you know, one of the big things about this team over the last few years is they've not gotten help in that time period. But, teams that have holes on April 23rd generally don't fill those holes for a long time. And, you know, people want to say, let's go get this guy. Oh, let's go get the Jose Iglesias plays for the Syracuse Mets. Like, we need to have him in the infield. Like, people say these things. And the answers come inward right now. And that's a little bit of a terrifying proposition because there's not a lot of 40-man depth. The guys that are on your 40 men that you might want to see are in AA in Portland. You know, that is the reality of where the Red Sox are at right now. But what it does mean, and Wally, you know, alludes to who plays first base, you know, what is the best nine? What is the best version of the Red Sox nine on a day-to-day basis? And, you know, again, it's going to vary left versus right. It's going to vary, you know, depending on who's on the mound. It's going to vary depending on health, of course. To not have Tristan Casas is brutal, lethal, just infuriating because of what he is. And it's not just the power. It's the on base. And what Wally's talking about there, go through the nine right here. This is tonight, lineup tonight. Sandon Rafaela doesn't walk. High contact, high slug, make or break. Duran doesn't walk. High contact. Tyler O'Neill doesn't really walk. Walks a little bit, but doesn't walk a ton. Has power. Willie Abreu. I was on the record. Bradfo, I think, wanted to throw me out of the studio last week, saying that the Red Sox season could hinge on Willie Abreu. Terrifying proposition to some, because of what he does and his on base ability. But he's a guy who walks. Rob Refsnyder walks, and Manuel Valdez does not walk. Connor Wong does not walk. Bobby Dalbec does not walk. Neither does Pablo Reyes. Masataki Yoshida has been in the conversation to do it when he's been in the lineup and hitting. And I'm out of the nine. We went through the pinch hitters. That's the reality of this lineup. This team on base percentage is .308 coming into the night. That's the way that this is. And they don't have contact either. Good lineups are built one of three ways: high contact, great; high on base, or high slug, or two out of the three are actually great lineups, right? The Red Sox hit home runs, but they do not slug. Weird dichotomy there. They don't double, they don't triple. They don't get on base. They are not walking based on the personnel, and they lead, depending on the exact moment that you look at it, they are, in this exact moment at 9:26 on your Tuesday night, the major league leaders in strikeouts. And again, part of this is no Tristan Casas. Part of this is no Trevor Story. Those are guys that you believe in their pedigree. But it's something they're either going to not hit or something is going to surprise you among the individuals. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense. And I mean, the thing that's been surprising to me to start is that I kind of figured, I mean, I think a lot of people figured that the weakness on this team was going to be the pitching staff and the offense was going to hit, and it's just been the complete opposite, which is a credit to Andrew Bailey and Craig Breslow for overhauling the pitching department, but also you have to score more than one or two runs a game to win consistently in this league.
I would rather be built this way. I would rather have this team than last year's team. You can win games by not scoring runs when you pitch the way that they have. I think the bullpen will be better than it has been, and they're top five bullpen in the American League. The starting pitching, I mean, we could do that over and over to the moon about how good that they've been. But, you know, the reality about this right now is you're going to have to find ways to score just a few. It's okay. But, you know, you look at there are a few stats that are in my mind about the way this team, and they illustrate everything that you have been watching and listening to all season long. 26 games, 12 of the 26 decided by two runs or fewer, and another handful nights like tonight, that's three runs. That doesn't fall into that category, but feels like a two-run game. Tonight is now the 11th of 26 games where neither team has scored more than five runs. 5-4, 4-3, 4-1 tonight, 2-1, 3-2. It started in Seattle, and it's here now in Cleveland on April 23rd. They are better in one and two-run games, really. They are better, you know, in these tight games than they were last year. But it's just you can't get things wrong. That's the issue. There's no one to come and no one is wearing a cape. No one is coming to save you other than Rafi Devers, assuming health. And that is the part of this that is going to be so fascinating to watch over the course of the next 3 weeks. Do you get shoulder injured Rafi Devers, where he's clearly fighting something, where the slug is not there? Or do you get the guy that you know he can be, where he can pick up an offense and do just enough? You have him tonight. He comes up with a couple of men on. The complexion of your night can be different. The complexion of your offense can be different. But I don't know. I do not know if it's enough. I do not know.
And I think that's part of the problem. No one really knows the answer to that. Like, where do they turn? You can't keep going with Bobby Dalbec at first base. I mean, he seems like the nicest guy in the world, but like eventually something has to give with that.
I think that's reasonable. You know, it's funny about Bobby is like, I said this earlier in the year, I can't think of anybody like approach wise that would be worse to have in his situation than Bobby Dalbec, because he is swing and miss a lot, strike out a lot, which I know we've seen, but over large sample size impacts the baseball enough where he provides significant value to you. And it's been a few years since he's done that. But, you know, you're talking about a guy in 2021 that struck out more than one in three plate appearances and was enormously valuable to the 2021 team, because he hit 25 home runs and slugged .494. Bobby Dalbec. So I think we accidentally spoke it into existence in some ways, that, you know, that his everyday shot, you know, is here now. And I don't think that's the best case scenario for the Red Sox. That would imply that Tristan Casas being hurt is not a big deal. It is, but I don't know. So, okay, let's go back to what you just said. So the unknowns, right? Like, what do we not know? I want to try to figure out what we know here. Red Sox Review, by the way, live on WEEI, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line. And I do see your text. I'll get there in just one sec. You know, somebody texts, I just mid-sentence have to laugh. Of course it's not enough. Yeah, of course it's not enough, right? Like, other than Tyler O'Neill, there's not much pop. So let's walk through this, and I might be a little bit rosy here on some of the outlooks, but these are things that I believe. The best nine for the Boston Red Sox. Let's go around the diamond. Outfield. Start there, a little easier, right? Like, there's legitimate depth on this roster. To me, it's Duran, right? Easy, start there. O'Neill, Pop, and Abreu. Those are my three, and I'm not... Seydon Rafaela comes later in the infield. I have such belief in Willy Abreu. He has power. He has on base. We saw it tonight. The issue is he was not overwhelming against left-hand hitters. I saw him at AAA. He got better against left-hand pitchers. That is as he went along, but he is not. He's not. You know, he's going to walk, I think, against some lefties, but he's not going to slug against lefties. So the value he provides is obviously diminished, and that's going to happen, right? Left on left. But I think, first of all, the majority of pitchers you're facing are right-handers. And the other part of this is, he's got to be... I just think he has to be in there. He's another one of those guys with the Bobby Dalbec-like approach where he just has to be in there. Because when he plays sporadically, because his entire innate approach is driven by his ability to control the strike zone, if he doesn't play with consistency, you are devaluing him as a player. So, outfield of Abreu, Duran, and O'Neill. Raffy at third, that's obviously a huge if, you know, with this shoulder. And it seems to me that this shoulder is barking, right? And if he has an IL stint at any point here, I don't know what happens. But let's live in the world where he's going to play. And Alex Cora, you just heard it on our airwaves seconds ago, said he's going to play. Are you, Zach, you're with me so far, right? Those three, Abreu, Duran, O'Neill, Raffy at third. That seems pretty easy to me, right? Rafael at short?
Yeah, I think given the current roster construction, that's definitely his best spot.
And I don't mind, you know, I might be the only guy on this island right now, like, holding on to my volleyball, but, like, I don't mind David Hamilton at short against right-hand pitching. I understand the defense, but I think it's gotten better, and I think the speed aspect of it, again, we're talking about a lineup that doesn't score runs. Like, let's have something that looks different. Let's have a guy who can run the way that, the wind, the way that David does. But I think Rafaela, in terms of the majority of at-bats at shortstop. Which, no, I don't think that's that hot of a take. And I thought you saw tonight, I thought, you know, that sixth inning, which I thought was going to be the inning that turned the game, where Valdez at second makes a diving stop, makes a nice play, and then, the third inning, so like the Dalbec play was outstanding in that sixth inning. The third inning where you have the 4-6-3 double play, where right after the Kwan walk to lead off their leadoff man gets on, a difficult turn. Valdez to Rafaela, and Rafaela uncorks an 80-mile-an-hour throw from shortstop coming across the bag with no feet set. I mean, like, you know, and 80 is upper echelon of Major League Baseball in that spot. I mean, you can't mess around. I was about to say something else. You can't mess around with the shortstop defense. You just can't. All right, we're there. You and I, we're lockstep so far.
Same page.
Second base. Valdez, Reyes, I don't know, like, you go through the American League second baseman, like, you go up and down. There aren't that many good offensive second basemen in baseball, really, but, you know, particularly in the American League. I prefer Valdez. I think he provides offensive, you know, I kind of know what Pablo Reyes is. I don't quite know what Valdez is, you know, over 162. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I lean Valdez too, just because I think he provides a little bit more pop than Reyes does. I think that one's a little tricky because you have Von Grissom coming back. Like,
yeah.
Do you try Von Grissom at shortstop? The Braves didn't like it.
I think he can play shortstop, but I don't think he's... I just saw him at AAA. We had a long conversation, talking to Vaughn last week about getting back into it. He is characterizing right now, and the Red Sox are too, as spring training, which is super reasonable. He did not take an at bat in spring training. I would not put the burden of the shortstop position of the Boston Red Sox on him because he's going to have to be back in the next week or so on the major league roster. It's going to be like Trevor Story at the beginning of when he came back last year. I'm not saying he's going to struggle, but it's possible because of the situation that he's in, and you're going to have to be patient with him offensively. So you're right. Grissom's going to be an answer there. And I also think then you're starting to talk about a platoon situation where, hey, we're getting Grissom his timing back. He's going to hit against left-hand pitching. He's going to hit against a lot of right-hand pitching. And we're going to have Valdez as a pinch hit option in the higher leverage spots against right-handers to try to go take his home run shot. And I think that's reasonable. And I think a lot hinges on Von Grissom. And maybe that's not fair, but it's where we're at, right? To borrow Alex Cora's line.
it's kind of similar to the position that they put Trevor Story in needing to be the right-handed bat that replaces Justin Turner, and now Vaughn Grissom's in that same exact spot, needing to be the right-handed bat to replace Trevor Story.
The world's worst game of musical chairs. you feel good about the defensive combination. And Vaughn Grissom, by the way, I watched it just as an aside. I watched him play second base in Worcester on the rehab. That man can play second base. That man is a very good defensive player. That guy looks, sounds, smells like a big leaguer, like all the way that he plays. And, and he's been a great Triple A hitter. So, again, like that's a guy that gets me excited. And again, it might not be pretty right off top, but like that's a guy in July, I think you're going to look at the slash line and say, all right, like that's one of the better second basemen in the American League. Not the highest bar, but a bar. First base. As we continue our trip around the world at Fenway Park, who's your first baseman?
That's the million-dollar question.
So, people are just saying mean things about Bobby Dalbec in the messages there on the text line. 37937, if you want to say anything. Maybe something kind. Try it. 617-779-7937 as well. We'll get to your calls in just a quick second. To me, it's Rob Refsnyder. To me, that's who that is. That's a hard proposition to say play there every single day, but I just think the way the bat is tonight, he's 3-for-3. What he does against left-handers, something that this lineup does not have. I think you're going to have to play him there. Connor Wong played defensive innings at first base for the Boston Red Sox today. I think it
Did
almost
he
has
ever?
To be. Yeah. And we'll never forget where we were on that night.
Remember that one for Immaculate Grid.
April 23rd, 2024. To me, it's Refsnyder. And it's Dalbec sometimes, but I don't know, like, what's the better option?
I don't know if they have one. I know when I was in here doing this same show with Joe on Sunday, somebody suggested Nico Cavadas. I've seen a lot of people push back on that on Twitter. I've seen concerns about the defense, and I think it was Ed Hand who said that he thinks that major league pitching will probably eat him alive right now.
It's interesting because he's hot at AAA. I've seen a lot of Nico. I love him. Like, I think the approach is really good. He's like Casas Abreu light, like similar approach, like really controls the strike zone and then has power as well. But, This is somebody who's never played a full AAA season, like close to a full AAA season, and I just think that's a big ask. It's not that he couldn't do it; it's just I think Rob Refsnyder tomorrow is a better option than that. But that's where we at. And then Yoshida at DH. I feel that way. That's going to be a cast of characters, I think, depending on the day. And if Devers has to play. Where you get into the lack of lineup depth conversation is if Devers has to DH the way he's going to tomorrow, then Pablo Reyes has to be in the lineup. And then you're looking at a lineup tonight, for example, that has Rafaela, rookie, Duran carried this offense for a lot of the time, struggles. O'Neill, great so far. Abreu, really good. Then Refsnyder just back from injury. Valdez, who's going to be hot and cold. Wong is a catcher. Dalbec is hitting 031 and Reyes is at 167. That's where, like, to me, having Pablo Reyes in the lineup every day is the line in terms of an offense that can score enough to win on nights like tonight. And I don't mean like Pablo Reyes is bad. That's not his role. His role is not to be an everyday defensive or everyday offensive load carrier for this team. But now we're here. Now that's where we're at.
It's crazy how quickly we got to this point. I mean, we're only 24 games in.
It's an extraordinary. Again, the roster construction. People are mad. I get it. The roster construction of this all is one thing, but the luck is horrific. I mean, it's just horrific. It is, to lose Casas for the foreseeable future, to lose Story for the foreseeable future, if not this season. I mean, there are just not a lot of teams. I mean, if you took, we've been making this like the Red Sox are built like the Guardians thing all night, right? And like to some people, they're mad, right? I'm seeing the texts about people who don't like that. To me, if you took Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor out, which are the equivalent of Rafi Devers and Tristan Casas in this line, if you took those two guys out of the Guardians lineup, they would never score again. Like, you know, but they would still win games because of their pitching. And I think I just backed myself into that being the Red Sox.
I mean, that's the situation they find themselves in.
How do you score? That's my best nine. And we did a new catcher, Wong McGuire, same platoon deal. You know, the other part of this that scares me about their offense is Wong and McGuire have been really good. And that's a hard thing for catchers to keep up over 162. That's not their role. It's desserts when you get it, but that's not their role. We'll see, man. There's a lot here. But then, you know, we're going to come on tomorrow night after they win 3-2 and say, yep, they do just enough, and the bullpen locks it down, and what another great start from a guy that, like, was not in the organization in January, from Cooper Chris. You know, like, you're going to do this back and forth with us, this emotional, like, pound your head on different walls all year long. That's how it's built.
And that's what a full 162-game season looks like. That's just what baseball is.
How you feeling about that, Zach?
I mean, I'm locked in for all 162 anyways, so I'm along for the ride.
I got it. I got a little anguish on my face, but that's okay. Red Sox Review, live with you on WEEI, 617-7797-937, 617-7797-937, 37937 on the text line. Got to hit a quick break, and then we're going to talk to you on the other side. I see the calls. I see the text. We're going to get to all of it. We'll go rapid fire, have some fun all together. We're back in a moment. It's Red Sox Review, and it's live with you on WEEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Here it is, and a swing. There's a drive to right field deep down the line. Back it goes, and it is a home run for William Abreu, and the Red Sox score first. 1-0 Boston with one out in the seventh inning. He breaks the scoreless tie with a blast.
101 off the bat. You were sort of waiting for this, right? This guy's challenging you with 90-91. And you're just sitting there, it's just, you know, blowing it right by guys.
Feels like a long time ago. William Abreu home run. 4 runs later, a couple hours later, Red Sox lose 4-1 against Cleveland Guardians. You're live with us right now. Red Sox Review, Cooper Boardman, Zach Coe inside the glass. 617-7797-937. 37937 on the text line as well. That was Joe Castiglione and Lou Merlone from the Nissan Red Sox postgame show. You deserve a car that thrills you. And Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. We got like four minutes or so. Count every second matters right now. So we're going to go rapid fire because we got everybody popping in here. I'm going to start on the call line, and then we'll go to the text line. And if you've got a call, get back in here. I think we had one of you that we lost you, so I don't know. Try it again. Thanks for being with us, though. 617-7797-937. But all right, real quick, let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to Rhode Island. Aiden, welcome to Red Sox Review.
Hi, I just saw an interesting stat. This is the first time since the 81 season that the Red Sox have scored one or less runs seven or more times in their first 24. And I'm just wondering, like, at what point, if you're Alex Cora or Craig Breslow, when do you hit the panic button and start making some changes?
Aiden, it's reasonable. You know, here's my thing on it. You say the phrase you use there is hit the panic button and make some changes. Panic button, hit some and make some changes. I don't know what, like, okay, so let's say right now is the moment, right? What you just said there, that stat's brutal, right? What you just said there is tough, but I don't know what the panic button is. I don't know, you know, it's not like the panic button is not get Marcelo Meyer up here from Double A. Like, that's not an answer, right? But you're not making big trades right now. It's April 23rd. No one's going to give you someone. No, it's not how it works. Big trades don't happen in April and May. So the panic button, and this is hard to say, but this is the panic button is what you're doing right now. It's finding how to get the littlest bit more out of what you have. You know, like, how do you pick up this offense like a grapefruit and squeeze out something? And again, there are, dude, like, and again, Aiden, thank you for the call. Aiden, there are going to be a lot of nights like tonight. The Red Sox are also 13-11 because of the way they pitch. They're going to score one run a lot of nights over the course of the next month. They're also going to win a lot of games by holding other teams to fewer than three runs. The starting rotation's ERA, and we read it on a nightly basis, is 1.73. They should win more games than they have because of that. But they're also going to win a lot of games because of it. And that's the word, like, we're just going to live in purgatory for a little while. That's the reality. I could lie to you. I can say, go, you know, we keep going through the text line here, you know, go sign Joey Votto, who's in AAA with another organization, which that's not really how it works. Okay, like, go do that. Sure. It won't change what's happening here right now. And so we're going to live in this world where you're going to win some nights like tonight. You're going to lose some nights like tonight. And they're hoping that they're going to be able to pitch their way into winning enough. And they have so far. To be fair, two over, I think you would take. But
yeah, and I think they've lost a lot of games due to poor defense. So, like,
right,
if they just play even passable defense, I know I've gotten on Tom Warner about this quote about saying that they're 8-10 wins better last year with passable defense, and I think it's true to an extent. But how many more wins would they have this year if they just played passable defense?
So, you know, and also, if they had two more wins, the difference between four over and two over, or I guess six over and two over, is huge. It's gigantic. It's the difference between in fourth place in your division and second place in your division. Okay. Aiden, thank you for the call. Thanks for getting in under the wire. All right, walking through the text line. Question about details and fundamentals with the base running and fielding in the Little League plays. Ask about the blame on the manager. I got like 1 minute to make this point. I got a stat. I got a thing here. So I was looking at the teams that took the biggest. Defense is one thing, but I think it's going to play into this. So base running. Somebody, you know, I was looking at the teams that took the biggest jumps between 2022 and 2023, full season, you know, looks. In terms of base running, like who ran the bases bad in 2022 and who ran it great in 2023. Biggest jump between those two are the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the two players that took the biggest jumps between 2022 and 2023 in just about every base running metric, extra bases taken, some of the analytical numbers that go kind of deeper into it, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. Good play, like great, unbelievable players. Freddie Freeman took 23 bags last year. I saw that, like, my eyes like blurred. Like, I could not believe that that was true. But Freddie Freeman stole 23 bases. Mookie didn't steal a lot of bases, but he ran the base as well. My point in all of this is we can sit here and say the defense needs to be better, and it does. And the base running needs to be better, and it does. But you look at a team that took that big of a jump, two big-time known commodities, two big-name, big-money, back-of-the-baseball-card, big-time Hollywood dudes. Those guys carry the load in terms of differences. And you look up and down the lineup right now for the Boston Red Sox, and I do not see that. And that's the reality. So you can go with the manager, and they're working on it, obviously, but that's part of it. That's a big, big part of it. We'll see. That music means we got to get out of here, but we'll see. Tough night tonight. Thanks for walking through like every little bit of the Boston Red Sox with us tonight. We did more than Zach. I didn't plan on doing this, Zach.
No, I mean, I think that's just kind of the state of the team. Not much happened in the game. Offense wasn't really doing much. I mean, the Guardians didn't really do a whole lot either. So that's where the show took us.
And not everything is a referendum, just to be clear. But, you know, you're absolutely right. That's where we're at. I just keep quoting Alex Cora. That's where we at. All right, that's it for us tonight. 5-10 on the MassMutual Red Sox pre tomorrow. Cooper Criswell is going to start. Raffy Devers is going to be in the lineup. 6-10 is game, and I am with you right after the game. We'll do a little Red Sox review, and then Bruins and Celtics post game will follow that. So this is your spot tomorrow. Sox, B's, C's. Good with that. Should be fun. Big thanks to Zach Goh. Inside the glass tonight. I'm Cooper Boardman saying so long. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Red Sox Review on WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.